Hey, my name is Sean Booth, and you are so welcome to Open Arms Church. Last week, we got to celebrate 3 years of Open Arms Dublin, and we did something exciting. We made a cool video looking back at some of the important moments of our history. Encourage you to look on YouTube and catch up on that. But next week is Vision Sunday, where we are going to be hearing what our God-given vision is for these next 5 years and what we believe God is calling us as a church and the season that he's calling us to. And I really hope that you can join us for that. I'd love for you to be there as we celebrate and as we look forward. But right now, we're about to jump right in. So I encourage you, grab your notebook, grab your pen, get your Bible, and lean in together as we hear God's word and we hear what he's speaking to us today. We're going to be looking at a scripture found in Joshua chapter 4, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. We're going to be looking at a large part of this scripture, and I've been studying this scripture for quite some time and I'm pouring into it this week, and I really hope and believe that it will speak to you. But I just want to give you some context of this story, really. We see that the nation of Israel, they are right in the middle of crossing the Jordan River. Literally, they are right in the middle of the river. As God, he has miraculously stopped the flow of water as the Ark of the Covenant is placed in the middle of the river. And the people are beginning to cross over. They're about to cross over and finally step into the promised land. The land that had been promised to their forefather Abraham centuries before, until they were then in captivity, in slavery for over 400 years, and then wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years before this moment because of the previous generation that had doubted in God's inability to provide for them and protect them. We see that their Moses, their previous leader, he's now died along with the previous doubting generation. And God calls forth Joshua to lead these people to step into the promised land because he believes that this is the moment, this is the time where they will step into their promised future. And right when they're in the middle of this moment of crossing the Jordan River, God presses pause. And he gives this instruction to the current leader, Joshua, in verse 2. He says, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place that you'll be tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men that he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe. And he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God and go into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." They are to be remembered forever. Skip down to verse 20. We see Joshua, he set up at Gilgal the 12 stones that they'd taken out of the Jordan. And he said to the people, the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." So next week is Vision Sunday. And we're going to be looking at where God is leading us to. That we're going to look at where we're going to be stepping into our future, which I believe is going to be a future of great favor and great blessing. It's going to be a future of life and salvation. It's going to be a future where we are celebrating the thousands of lives that will fall in love with Jesus and that we will see a large and life-giving church established in our nation. But I believe that before this moment, we first need to pause. And I want to call this Sunday Revision. Revision Sunday, And the title of this sermon is the same instruction that God gave to Joshua, that Joshua gave the people. It's this: don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember that all that God has rescued you from, that he has saved you from. Don't forget to remember how he has comforted you, how he's cared for you. Don't forget to remember that he nurtured you back to life, that he was able to bring you through that difficult divorce, that he was able to carry you through the sadness and the pain and the mourning from the death of your loved one. Don't forget how he's brought you through this past year. Maybe how he's brought you through the sickness that you've experienced, how he has given you every single thing that you have. Don't forget to remember. You see, when we forget to remember, what happens is we can slip into this state of apathy, where we enter into a state of indifference because, you know, in our life, in our relationship with Jesus and in his church. And what happens is we can adopt this attitude of being ungrateful, where we forget where we were. We forget what we didn't have. We forget what we needed. We forget the path that we were on. We forget the trajectory that our life that was headed towards. And I want to say to you today, don't forget to remember where God has brought you from. Don't forget to remember all that God has blessed you with. Don't forget to remember that all that he's done for the one who has shaped you will truly sustain you. And I want you to make that decision today. I will choose to remember. I will not forget. Write that down in your notes as you're taking notes. I will choose to remember. Comment it. Comment it in our comment section saying, I will not forget. I will choose to remember all that God has done for me. You know, memories, they are powerful. When we look back at our life over, you know, these past few decades that we may have lived, you know, we're not always going to remember every single moment. Of course, that would just be crazy. But there are some memories that stand out in the forefront of our minds. And then there are some memories that are stored away only for them to resurface. And then when we have a catalyst, like a smell that's familiar, or maybe a location that we've been before, or maybe a picture that just brings up that memory once again. It's fascinating because when we experience that catalyst and we remember that moment, it's like we're brought back to the moment as if it was yesterday. You know, we remember the smell. We remember where we were. We remember who was with us. And, you know, may have been a day where we experienced great worry and stress and anxiety. And then something happens in that day that years from now that we'll look back on and we will remember. But it's like we forget everything else that happens in that day and we just remember that moment. Disneyland in Orlando, they did an experiment to see how specific moments and memories in their resort added to and defined the experiences that people had. And one family, a family of four people, they were given a phone as they were entering into the resort, and they were told that on the hour, every hour, we want you to just send a text to this number, well, a little bit of what you're doing, and then give us a score out of 10. So at 9 a.m., they walked into the park and arrived with great awe and wonder, and they scored 9 out of 10. Then at 11 o'clock, they were stuck in these long queues in the baking sun, the Florida sun, and they scored it 3 out of 10. At 12 o'clock, they have finally got on the ride and experienced that full sense of elation, and they scored it 10 out of 10. Then at 1 o'clock, lunchtime, because of the price of the food, they scored it 4 out of 10. 2 o'clock, now they're feeling sick and queasy because of the roller coaster and the food, and they scored that 4 out of 10. Then at 3 o'clock, they meet Mickey Mouse, and they're able to take pictures with their kids wearing the mouse ears, and they scored that 9 out of 10. Finally, at 5 o'clock, they were exiting the park and ending up their day, they got to experience the incredible fireworks, and they scored it 10 out of 10. But when they added up all the scores of every moment throughout the day, they got to an average score of 6 out of 10, which you can imagine is not that special. But 3 months later, the resort, they gathered this family back together and they began to reminisce and remember what their moments were like. And they said, give us a summary of what your experience was like and give us a score out of 10. And guess what? Each single person scored their experience 9 out of 10. Because the moments that they remembered was the feeling of awe as they entered, the elation on the roller coaster, the picture of their kids with Mickey Mouse, and of course, their fireworks at the end. Those moments defined their experiences. You know, important memories and moments have the power to define and to shape our life experiences. And they can then determine the decisions that we make, the path that we choose, and the trajectory that we set our lives upon. There are certain memories that are to be forgiven and surrendered. And then there are certain memories that are to be celebrated with great joy. But what is important is to glorify the one who has provided those moments of joy and happiness and the one who has brought us through that pain and suffering. And each memory, whether good or bad, has the power to shape our lives when we allow God to turn it together for his good. None of us are going to forget 2020 and 2021. We're going to be telling our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren what it was like during the pandemic, how we had to dye and color and cut our own hair, how we had to stock up on a mountain of toilet roll, how we put on all the COVID kilos because of the takeaways that we ate and we couldn't go out and travel, how we spent our days Zooming and FaceTiming one another because we couldn't go and see other people. But we can choose to look back over a season or a year like 2020 and 2021 and say, you know, that was a bad year. That was a difficult time. I didn't like that period in my life. I didn't like that season. But at the same time, we forget to remember those moments when we look back on that in the moment it was special. The moment we looked at our wife with happiness. We looked at our children with joy. We looked at our job with thankfulness. We looked at our life with gratefulness. Maybe the moment that we drove along the street and we saw a homeless person and we thought to ourselves, I'm so grateful that I have a roof over my head. Maybe the moment in which we heard the story of the child who was such a crippling and debilitating disease is going to be stuck in hospital for the rest of our days when our greatest physical struggle is trying to lose a few pounds. Maybe right now you are still in the midst of the battle and the storm. Maybe in this season you lost people you love. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you've broken up, or maybe you're experiencing great strife and difficulty in your marriage. Maybe you're not yet through that difficult season in what you're going through. And I want to ask you today, will you allow God to work in it and work through it? Will you allow God to shape you and form you into the man and the woman that he's calling you to become, allowing him to shine his glory through it and showing his goodness through every single situation, no matter how difficult it is? That the story that you want to tell your future children and your family, the story that you want to tell is not going to be shaped by COVID and lockdowns and diseases. It's going to be the story of giving God glory. It's going to be the story of looking back saying, because that God provided for me, he protected me. I thought I wasn't going to make it. I thought we wouldn't get through it. I thought it was a season that would defeat me, but God brought me through. This was a moment in Joshua 4 where God pressed pause, and the reason was is they wanted the Israelites to take stock of where that they had come from and all that God had done for them, and to mark this moment so forevermore they would look back on it, remember where God had brought them from and all that he had blessed them with from this moment. And here's the first thing I want us to note about this story and about this scripture. Here's the first thing, I encourage you to write this down. They marked the middle of the moment. They marked the middle of the moment. In Joshua 3, God tells Joshua to instruct the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant and go and to stand in the river. Now, you must imagine at this time in history, when we look back at this season, it was flood season. So this river wasn't just like a nice stream that was going by that at knee height. this river, there was a flood rampaging through it. This was this. It was flowing and it was so wide. It was like the River Liffey, except it was two or three times as wide, and it was flood season. So you can imagine the water is just flooding by, and God says, I want you to stand in it. And what will happen is it will stop in a heap, and there will be like a wall that will stop the water from flowing by. Guess what? He did when they stepped in. And you can imagine all of the people, they're getting ready with their families and their children and their belongings and their possessions. They're getting ready and they're walking through this dry ground, this river, the Jordan, and they look to their side and they see this wall of water that in any moment it could break through and drown them all, wipe their whole life away. I can't imagine being a priest at that moment, standing there the entire time watching everyone going by, feeling super nervous. It could be any moment and they are wiped away. And then in this moment, the Lord tells Joshua to go into the middle of the dry ground, choose 12 people to go in, to choose 12 stones to pick as a memorial at the place that they will rest tonight. So Joshua calls over the men and he says in verse 5 and 6, he says, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israelites to serve as a sign among you. This is a moment that was literally marked in the middle of their miracle. He said, take the stones from the middle and set it up as a memorial, a monument to be remembered. It was to be a remembrance of celebrating this miraculous act, that it would never be forgotten, that they would look back and all that they had suffered and endured and gone through as slaves in Egypt, how they were beaten and they were whipped and then they were rescued. They were saved from that place. They were now came to this moment, and they would look back on this moment. In future generations, they would come and they would see that from that moment that all that God had blessed them with. This resembles our moment of salvation. This resembles the moment in which we give our life to Jesus, that moment in which we look back in our life and we see what our life was like before Jesus and all that we've experienced with Jesus. This was the point of repentance and salvation. This was our moment that marked the middle of our lives. If we were to be honest, we often forget that moment. We're often disorientated and distracted from life's present demands, that we forget all that God saved us from, all that he rescued us from, all that he brought us through. When we look back on this moment, though, we remember who we were and who Jesus transformed us to become. We remembered all that we went through. And what it does is it gives us a greater confidence because of what he has done. He has a greater power to do in my today and forevermore. And this moment that marks the middle of our lives is often referred to as a testimony or our story. And this moment was the Israelites' testimony. This was their story. And here's the second thing to note. They knew that their story carried significance. They knew that their story carried significance. We see that Joshua tells the people in verse 6, he says, in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them the story, because the story carries significance. Joshua wanted the people to know that the significance was not found in the stones. The significance was found in the story, and that this story was to be told and shared for generation to generation. Do you realize that your story carries with it great significance? It carries great significance. When I ask you, are you sharing your story or are you holding on to it? What memories are you passing on to the next generation? What memories are you maybe handing over to the younger people who you are mentoring, or maybe someone who you are encouraging and discipling? Are you sharing with them all of the significant moments in your life and how God brought you through and how he rescued you? You know, in our home, we love telling our boys, we've got three boys, we love telling them all the stories of old. They love hearing about what mommy and daddy were like before they were born and what they looked like and where they went and what they did. And we just really, we believe that it's important for us to remember and reminisce together and include our children into these celebration of these important moments. Last week, when we celebrated Open Arms Dublin, we all watched the service together. We watched the story together. And I reminded my three boys, I said, Levi, remember every Sunday morning, you got up, you came with me at 8 o'clock, jumped in the van. We set up the whole church. He was there every step of the way until the end of the day. We set it all down, put it back in the van and drive back home together. I reminded Liam, you were just a baby. You crawled through the seats. You were there every step of the way. I reminded Isaac, you weren't even born yet. You were in your mommy's belly, but you were there with us every moment. We celebrate the moments in our story. But likewise, at the same time, both myself and Jillian, you know what? We have had some incredibly, excruciatingly painful moments. Moments that we'd love to forget. Moments where we had to cry out to God to say, you know, we want to give up, so help us. Moments where we had to cry out to take away the pain, take away the hardship. Some moments of suffering and disappointment and loss. We hold on to the scripture that's found in Romans 8:18 that says this: I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You know, we could choose to hide our stories. We could choose to hide those painful moments. We could choose to try and forget all those moments in our life, or instead, we can choose to share them with others, to encourage other people that hold on, keep trusting, keep believing, keep going, because there is hope and life on the other side. Don't give up. You too can experience this breakthrough in your life. You too can experience this miracle in your moment. You see, it's through sharing our sufferings and our celebrations that the Lord's glory is revealed through this. It's through remembering these moments in our life that gives us strength for today. I want to tell you the same is true for you. Your story is significant. It is significant. You are a miracle. And your story carries with it great significance, both the stories of suffering and of joy, of losses and defeat, of great times where you were conquered, and of course, the times in which you experienced victory. I want to encourage you, don't hold on to them, but share them with others. Allow your story to be told. Allow your testimony to be heard by other people, that it too would give God glory, but it would also give others strength and encouragement. Others need to hear the memories of your moments of miracles. Others need to hear the difficulties that you were delivered from so that they too will be encouraged. You know, when we stop sharing our story becomes forgotten. We forget about it. Joshua knew this too true. He knew this to be true as he had suffered 40 years wandering around in the wilderness because of a generation who had forgotten their story. A generation who had forgotten where God had brought them from. Why? Because they were focused on the provision and not the provider. Yes, they remembered the story, but they forgot about the author of the story. The one who had delivered them from what they had gone through. Listen to Joshua in verse 21. Listen to how he says this to the Israelites. He says, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? He says this: tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. What do you hear in this moment? What do you hear here? Do you hear how great the story is? Do you hear how great the moment was? Do you hear how great the memory is? Or do you hear how great the one who is behind it? The power of these memories does not reside in the memory itself, but in the one who allowed the memory to take place, the one who allowed the memory to happen. The power does not reside in the miracle, but the one who caused the miracle to take place. It resides in the one who delivered us, who blessed us, who made it possible. This is why worship is so important, because worship reminds us of those moments. Worship reminds us of who we are in Jesus, who we were, who he transformed us to be. It reminds us of all that God has done in our lives as we have an opportunity to give God glory for all that he's done. Worship is so important as we remember the cross as the greatest act of love ever given. We remember the empty tomb as the moment in which victory reigned in this earth. But here's the thing. We don't worship the cross. We don't worship the empty tomb. We worship the one who conquered the cross. We worship the one who walked out of the tomb. We worship the one who was resurrected from the dead, who was raised to life, who overcome and came death itself, who conquered death and who gives me and you resurrection power. This is the one in which we worship. And here's the final thing. The final thing is this, is we know that the significance is in the one who saved us. Their significance is in the one who brought us through. But here's the third and final thing to note. They remembered, but did not remain. They remembered, but did not remain. I believe that this is so important to grasp, because this is what has messed us up as Christians for thousands of years. This is what has caused us to get so caught up in religion. And if history is anything to learn, is that history often has its way of repeating itself, even in this modern 21st century Christianity that we're a part of. You know, as a church, Open Arms, we will build great buildings. And we will fill them with thousands of people. We will experience incredible moments of worship when we're gathered together building the church in Ireland. But the buildings, the auditoriums, the worship services, the experiences themselves are not as what is important, but Jesus Christ himself. He is the one in which we worship. He is the significant one in which we celebrate. You know, 2019. Yes, it was a great year for us as a church and a community. It was a great year as we enjoyed community together. We had incredible moments, or we experienced God and we experienced fun and we experienced building the church together as one. But let's not spend our days trying to relive those moments. Let's not spend our days trying to repeat those times where we get so caught up worshiping the moments themselves, worshiping the monuments, the very stones themselves, where the stories are told and retold, where they overshadow what we're experiencing today. They overshadow yet the memories that are still to be made. Instead, let us move forward. Let us move forward with those great memories. Yes, remembering, but setting out to create new memories. Believing that the best is still yet to come. That the best is yet to come for me and my family and my life and my future and my church. Here's what's important to learn from Joshua and the nation of Israel. They remembered, but they didn't remain. Yes, they established a memorial, a monument of remembrance, but they moved to the place in which they were called to. They continued to move, creating new memories. And church, I believe that we're not called to build and to worship monuments, but we are called to build and become a movement of people who are gathered together with the power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, believing that we are called into our future to see others fall in love with Jesus. We are called to cross over into the new, to move forward into our future. You know, every day we hear people asking, when will things go back to normal? When will things go back to the way it was? We even hear people asking, you know, many ask, when are we going to go back to church? Here's the thing. we're not going to go back, but we're only going to go forward. We're not called to rebuild the old, to recreate old memories. We are called to step into the new. We are called to move forward. We're not called to remain here worshiping some old moments, some monuments of our life, but we're called to step into the new and to create new memories for our lives and the lives of those who are yet come to know Jesus, even the lives of those who are yet unborn, our future generations. We are called to follow God's call and cross over into the promised land. We're called to build something new. We are called as a church to create a church in Ireland that Ireland has never seen before. A church that Ireland can place their trust and their faith in. A church that they can be proud of. A church that they can turn to for hope and healing. Not abuse, not distrust, not being able to have disappointments with, but a church that they can believe in and be a part of and call their own, call their home. You see, we're not waiting for when we're going to go back, but we're going to embrace today and step into the now. We're going to move forward. We believe that this is the new. This is the moment. This is the time where we are to embrace what God has given us in our hands. This is what God spoke to me at the beginning of 2021, after, I'm sure, like you, spending so many moments, in fact, nearly spending an entire year worrying, wondering, trying to pontificate what's going to happen, when I'm going to get some semblance of the known and the familiar. And God spoke to me right at the beginning of the year, and he said these three words: turn the page. Turn the page. I believe that it's time to turn the page. It's time to turn the page in your life. Start a new chapter. Create new memories. Start off a new season. And it's time to finally release what you've been holding on to and to be released from what's been holding on to you. It's time to turn the page. Don't spend this day like you did yesterday wondering when things go back. Don't spend this day wasting it, wondering what life was like, wondering when it will get back to that. Turn the page. Start a new day. Create new memories. Yes, remember, but do not remain. Yes, retell your story that has great significance. And that is an incredible story to give God glory for. But let's continue to move forward and create new stories, to share our story with others, to encourage them so that they too will be able to tell their story. I believe that it's time for us to decide that we need to cross over and to step into the new, to experience new experiences, to create new moments. And yes, step into the unknown and the uncertain and the unfamiliar, but knowing that we are leading the way for the next generation, that we are leading the way for the generation that is yet unborn, that we are leading the way for our children and our grandchildren so that they too would know and share and be a part of the significance of our story and giving glory to God for his goodness every step of the way. Here's the question. Will you turn the page? Yes, let's remember, but let's not remain here. Will you join us? Will you be a part of us? Will you join this movement to move forward to create new moments and memories in our lives and the lives around us? Will you join us as a church to be a part of this great movement as we navigate the season together, as one, united? Hey, maybe you never marked the middle of your life by giving your life to Jesus. Maybe you never had that moment in which you knew that he saved you, that he changed you and transformed you. I want to encourage you today to take the opportunity to cross over from doing life on your own and experiencing so much disappointment, being grappled with sin in your life, and cross over and step into a new life that it can only be found in Jesus Christ. For Jesus loves you. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for you so that you could be a part of his story, so that you could be a part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God who will move forward and be a part of a movement of the church in which we call here Open Arms. I want to give you an opportunity right now. If you just pray this prayer together with me, maybe pray it in your heart, maybe where you are, just close your eyes and bow your head, or wherever you are, just take this moment to pray and repeat these words after me and say, Jesus, I'm drawing close to you. I acknowledge that you are my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Lead my life. Heal me. Forgive me. And help me as I follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, in Open Arms, we believe that we are to celebrate new life, and we want to celebrate with you. We want to help you in your next step. If you've made that decision today for the very first time, we'd love you to go to openarms.ie/connect, and there you'll be able to see a very simple form in which you can fill out, and you can tick the box in, I'm committing my life to Jesus. And we're going to send you an email and a text this week and invite you to Next Steps. It's a Zoom that lasts for about 45 minutes to an hour with myself and some people on our team. And we'll be able to hear your story and share our story with you and be able to connect together and help you on this next season, this next leg of your journey. So I encourage you to do that. But I really want to encourage you to join us next week for Vision Sunday. Hey, this is the new. This is now. Let's step forward together. Let's look forward to where God is leading us as a church. I want to pray for you as we get ready to enter back into worship. I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.